For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
So we've got a message I believe the Lord has given me for us tonight, and it's something that if you take to heart is really going to do some quality good in your life. Glory to God. Let's open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your full salvation in our life. We thank you, Lord, that we have been saved mightily by what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And Father, I ask that tonight, as we look into prosperity flow, that you reveal to us, reveal to our hearts what needs to be done or changed or even repented of, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. We're looking tonight at releasing your prosperity flow. Releasing your prosperity flow. And what we're looking at tonight is not for those who are against prosperity or who have an anti-prosperity doctrine. That's certainly something which I believe is an act or a belief of rebellion that is currently in the church, because there are many scriptures that show that it is God's will to prosper us. We want to look briefly tonight at that fact that it is God's will to prosper us. We should know that giving is an important work to be done for the kingdom of God. We should know, and it's a foundational thing for us to know if we're to be blessed in prosperity, that tithing is not an option, but it is a foundational thing, and that giving is not an option either. So it is God's will to prosper us. So let's have a look at 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 8, first of all. What I want to concentrate on tonight is releasing your prosperity flow, because a lot of people find that even though they believe in the prosperity of the Lord for them, there is often some sort of barrier or ceiling that might need to be dealt with. And it's through the scriptures that we get revelation. It's through the scriptures that we get light. Okay, it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The word of God is something we absolutely need. So looking at 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 8, and I'll read this out. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So we see some fundamental prosperity doctrines here. I'm not going to go into great detail about it, but you can see the law of sowing and reaping in verse 6. If we don't sow, then there's not going to be a harvest. Or if we are sparing in our sowing, there's going to be a sparing in the reaping. If we are sowing bountifully, and indeed we should be doing that, then there's also a bountiful reaping that's available. There's also in verse 7, a purposing in your heart. So God wants us to purpose in our heart to give. So it's not to be a forced thing, but it's to be a heart thing, as it says, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, if God loves something, you better take notice of it. If God loves a cheerful giver, then you say, by faith, I will to be cheerful. I will be cheerful. Glory to God in my giving. I'm going to be cheerful. And, you know, if you have a proper perspective of why you're on the earth, then you'll understand that we are servants of God and that life is but a vapor anyway, and so what you do on earth is very important. And that's why verse 8 is really, really important for us to grab hold of. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. That grace is that enabling, that favor and so on that's able to abound toward you. That ye always having all sufficiency in all things. Now that tells us that it's God's will for us to have all sufficiency in all things. What's the purpose? That you may abound to every good work. You know, we've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works, to do those good works for God. And God wants us to abound to every good work. So that tells us, and this is very clear, and there's many, many other sections of Scripture we go into, that tells us that God wants us to be prosperous so that we can do the good work that He's called us to do, that He's told us to do. You know, we could go through other Scriptures, but it's quite clear, for example, in Matthew 5:16, we won't turn to it, but it says that your good works are seen by men and will glorify your Father in heaven. Well, you want to have the enabling, the grace, the sufficiency to be able to do that. And so if you have got an anti-prosperity doctrine, you're in big trouble in the Lord's eyes, because you are not listening to what the Scripture is telling you is necessary for you to be able to do those good works for God. You know, we could also look at 3 John 2, which talks about, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. So obviously, it's right at the top, prospering in God's eyes. And that's prospering spirit, soul, body, socially, every part of your life. Of course, we're talking here, and we looked at it in 2 Corinthians 9, that was a financial thing there, but it applies right across your life. We could also look, and we won't turn to this one either, Psalm 35, verse 27, it says, Let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. So be sealed in your heart that it is God's will for us to prosper, and there's a purpose for that. And the purpose, of course, is that we may be a blessing, that we may have the resources to do the good works that God wants us to do whilst on the earth as his servant. We're not serving mammon, we're not serving riches, we're not serving wealth and money. We're serving God, and we want to do, out of a cheerful heart, we want to do that giving, that those good works that God wants us to do. Praise the Lord. So I want to concentrate a bit on what are some of the barriers that may need to be dealt with so that there can be a releasing of your prosperity flow. Now, we already touched on one, didn't we? You've got to have a cheerful heart and you've got to be a giver. Okay, if you don't have a cheerful heart and you're not a giver, that's a barrier. You need to deal with that. You need to say, well, Lord, what does your word say? Oh, it says that I should be sowing bountifully and I should have a cheerful heart and not be grudging about it and, you know, sowing into good ground and so on. We've got plenty of sermons that cover that. I just want to mention here on this, and I'm quoting from a book by Dr. Leroy Thompson Sr., Money Cometh to the Body of Christ. And this is what he says on page 13. I just want to read this section here because it is very, very relevant about this whole obedience area. This is what he says. Right now you can think of what you need to do in your own life concerning obedience. You can't get in on this thing without obeying or being a doer of God's word. There's no side door to God's blessings. In other words, you can't creep in a side door by prayer when he told you to give. You can't pray past giving. If God said, here's what you ought to do, I want you to give, and you say, no, I'm going to pray, praying is really spiritual, then money cometh won't work for you. Yes, the Bible says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much, James 5:16. But what is a righteous man? A righteous man is one who favours God's righteous cause. In other words, God blesses those who do what he tells them to do. So money cometh to you will mean that you are doing what God has told you to do in his word. That covers very, very well the subject of obedience. I highly recommend you read this book. It is a very good one to have in your library. And I believe that Dr. Leroy Thompson is a man of God used in this area. So let's have a look at if you don't deal with sin, what's a real problem with this in terms of your prosperity? Let's have a look first of all at Proverbs 28 verse 13. Proverbs 28 verse 13. Now we'll go through a few scriptures in this area where people don't deal with sin in their life and it has repercussions according to the Word of God, and I'm preaching out of the Word of God. According to the Word of God, it has repercussions on your prosperity and on your life. So Proverbs 28 verse 13 is very, very clear concerning the area of prosperity. And it says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." So you can see here that if a person is covering their sins, trying to hide it, trying to get away with things, pretending that things don't exist or don't matter, then this is a real problem, because it says shall not prosper. Does that represent a barrier to prosperity?
Yeah.
Yes, indeed it does. But notice what it says in the second part there. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's a wonderful part of that scripture that it's talking about, because repentance is like God's clearinghouse. It can clear you so that prosperity is then able to come in. We just read before what Brother Leroy had to say about it. He said, if you're not obedient, then you're not going to be able to enter into proper prosperity. You know, there might be some little things that'll happen, but the way God wants to prosper you, and I believe there's going to be a real releasing for all of us here in this church and those that hear by faith what we have to say, there's going to be that releasing into much greater prosperity, much greater prosperity. But I do believe that there are things that need to be dealt with in our lives personally and obviously right across the body of Christ. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. This is very, very important. So think of repentance not as a bad thing, but as a clearing house for you, a clearing of the rubbish that's been keeping you back, and so that you can prosper. Praise the Lord. Let's have a look at Psalm 66, verses 18 and 19. Psalm 66, verses 18 and 19. Now, the Lord is speaking to the body of Christ, and, you know, there's a lot of things happening in the body of Christ to shake up things, to get the apathy out, to bring back a spirit of holiness and the fear of the Lord into the midst of his people. Verse 18 and 19 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." What a tragic situation that is. "But verily God hath heard me, he hath attended to the voice of my prayer." So you can see the psalmist is not regarding iniquity in his heart, but he says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Now this is important, and we're not talking about, you know, a thought flies into your head and you know that that's a wrong thought, and you immediately cast it down. And you say, "No, I don't receive that in the name of Jesus," and cast it down. And you know that that there are imaginations that might come and you need to cast them down. Okay? But this is where you take a thought or you take something that you know is iniquity and sin, and you start to meditate on it and think about it and give ground to it and give place to it. Bad thing to do, because it brings you into the state where the Lord will not hear you. This is a great warning to the body of Christ, and I pray every one of us takes heed to this warning. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Well, we want the Lord to hear us. We want the Lord to hear our prayer, because if he hears our prayer, he'll grant the petition that we desire of him. And this is really important in the area of prosperity. Praise the Lord Jesus. Have a look at Jeremiah 5, verses 21 to 25. Here we see an example. It's a very interesting example of what happens when people stray away from the Lord. So starting from verse 21, and we'll go down to verse 25 of Jeremiah 5. Now, this comes into the fear of the Lord, and we know the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, but it's respecting God and his ways and his word in your life. It's honouring God and saying, Lord, I honour you, I honour your word, I honour your ways, and I'm not going to allow sin to get in the way. I'm not going to be rebellious to your word, and so on. Let's have a read of what it says here, because there's some really important words for us. Now hear this, O foolish people, without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not, fear ye not me? See what the top of God's mind is there? Fear ye not me? The fear of the Lord. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it? But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. My word, this is a very serious thing. You can see in verse 24, these people are not saying in their heart the right thing. But what is the right thing to say? The very thing that it says there. Let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain. What's he give? He gives rain, provision, right? Both the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. So what's he giving? He's giving harvest, isn't he? Praise the Lord. Your iniquities have turned away these things. Well, if you deal with your iniquities, you know, God forgives all our iniquities, and if you confess and forsake them, as the scripture says, you'll be able to prosper in the Lord. If you are determined to be obedient, it says your iniquities have turned away these things. What's it turned away? It's turned away the giving of provision, of prosperity, rain and harvest. Okay? It's turning away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. Well, this is the situation you don't want. You don't want good things to be held back from you, do you? You certainly don't want that type of situation. Well, if that's the case, then you need to, and when I say you need to, I'm talking to the body of Christ here. You need to make sure that the fear of the Lord is of top priority in your life. The fear of the Lord, you're honouring him, you're respecting him, you're hating evil, you are looking to him in all things, praise the Lord. And, you know, turning to the Lord and turning away from sin and away from iniquity, that brings you into a position where you are ready and able to receive what God has for you. Those good things that it talks about there, they won't be withholden from you. Okay? That rain or provision and that harvest won't be held back from you. Praise the Lord. Let's also have a look at Ephesians 4, verse 28. And we see here another sin that needs to be dealt with in people's lives at times, and gives an example here. And, we must make firm decisions, quality decisions in our life, that we are to be people of holiness. We say, as the Bible says, be holy, even as God is holy. And he gives us that enabling, that strength to be able to do that, to be able to walk in holiness. Ephesians 4, verse 28. Notice what it says here. And it says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labour, working with his hands that the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So you can see here that the barriers here that are presented, God wants us not to have those barriers so that we can have to give. So we have something to give. Okay? Because if you have these other things in your life, let's say you're sort of flippant about your taxes, or you're flippant about, oh, it doesn't matter if that little thing, they'll never notice that it's been taken. Or even if you're a big thief, big or small, it doesn't matter. Let him that stole steal no more. Theft should not be part of our life. And by the way, that includes the tithe. God makes it very clear that that's robbery, and you don't want to be robbing God. So steal no more, but rather let him labour. Now this is an important thing too. How do people that in the category of laziness and slothfulness fit into this? Well, they don't, do they? They've got to be people that are saying, well, I'm going to be doing something. I'm not going to be slothful. I'm not going to be lazy. I'm going to be doing something. And as it says there, working with his hands, the thing which is good. So, there's some jobs you should never be in, for example. I don't think any Christian should be a bartender or in the casinos. And there's others I won't go into detail. But you can see very clearly that God wants you to be a person that is scrupulously honest in your dealings and not lazy and obviously diligent in what you do. The hand of the diligent maketh rich, the Bible tells us. Okay, so God wants to put you into a place so that there can be that flow of prosperity happening into your life. As it says there, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You don't want holes in the bucket, so to speak. Holes in the bucket that are keeping the things away from you, or sapping your finances and sapping your resources so that you can't do what you want, what God wants you to do. Okay, so we've dealt with not dealing with sin. If you don't deal with sin, that'll be a problem in the prosperity area. There's absolutely no doubt about that. There's many, many more scriptures I could go into about that, but we don't have time, because I want to go into another area now. Not properly esteeming God's work, his house and his ministers. And I think this is a big, big issue in today's churches that think it's fine just to have an online presence and have no commitment and all that type of thing. No. Really, it is really, really important to be esteeming the things of God. Let's have a look at a few scriptures. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. What I'm going through here will also have a bearing on prosperity. And we're talking about releasing your prosperity flow today so that you can flow in prosperity because you don't have these barriers in the way. You're of an honest and good heart. You have a pure heart before the Lord. And if there's any temptations that come, you deal with them. Okay? Any imaginations that come, you deal with them. Right there. You don't allow the enemy to have a foothold. So 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. And let's read this through. It says, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honour me I will honour, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Okay, so notice, and this is a spiritual law, them that honour me, I will honour. I will honour. But notice those that despise me. Well, how do you despise God? Well, you can ignore God's word. You can ignore him. You can speak against God's word. You're speaking against him. You can say, you can allow disobedience and sin to enter in. They're not good either. That's despising the Lord. And it says, shall be lightly esteemed. Well, you do not want your things to be lightly esteemed because you're not esteeming God's things. You see what I'm saying here? You esteem God's things highly, God will esteem your things highly as well. It's if you honour God, and it might be a simple thing as being a doorkeeper in the house of God. You honour God, you stick to that, you do what God has called you to do, and do it diligently and with a faithful spirit, God will honour you. God will honour you. Okay? Now some people think, oh, when I become a pastor or have a huge church, then I'll really stick with it. And God gives you little things, little tests, so to speak. He gives you little things to do to honour him. And if you can show that you're honouring him, he'll honour you, he'll esteem you, and the things that matter to you, okay, which of course should be in line with God anyway. Praise the Lord, he gives you the desires of your heart. Glory to God. Have a look at Philippians 3 verse 8 and then 4 verse 15. Philippians 3 verse 8 first of all. Now the Philippians, the church at Philippi, they were a people that backed the ministry of Paul. They were partners with him. They backed the ministry of Paul, and he says quite a lot about prosperity in Philippians. We don't have time to go right through it, but we'll touch on a couple of things here. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. 3 verse 8. And notice what it says here. "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." So, where do you put your value is the big question here. Do you put your value on things? And a lot of people do. They put their value on things, and that's to their great detriment in the Lord. You cannot do that. God must be of the highest value in your life, above everything that you have, the highest value in your life. And that's why he says, he's talking about all things, and do count them but dung. Now dung is of course at the lowest. Not many people esteem dung, okay, or value dung. So that's at the lowest in the rung of what you would value. And he's saying, well, they're right at the very bottom at the dung level of value compared to God. Okay, and another scripture says, "For me to live is Christ." In other words, Christ is his life, and it should be the same with us. So count them but dung that I may win Christ. And go across also to chapter 4 and verse 15. So you can see that the Philippians clearly valued what Paul was doing, his ministry. They partnered with him. And notice what it says here. And it's a great indictment to the other churches he was helping, because the other churches he was helping, he was giving lots to them as well. Okay, and you can read it right through the epistles and so on. But notice what it says here in chapter 4, verse 15 here. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So notice that this communication is a two-way type of thing. So he is saying, I'm communicating or giving out the word and various important things that you need. And there is a giving of the Philippians, or we'll say the people of God, into what the minister has been giving. Now this is very, very important, because if you go down a little bit further, you see, we'll look at verses... Well, let's continue on from verse 16. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. So you can see they were backing him. They were helping him with resources and that is finance. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So this is important to see. You know, some people think, that all that preacher wants to do is fleece the sheep. He just wants to grab hold of money and increase that way. No. The proper minister of God will be desiring this, okay? This is what it is. And I know I desire this too for everyone here and those who listen to this. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Well, how is that going to help you? It's going to help you in your prosperity flow to be able to do what God wants you to do in the calling that he has for you, okay? Verse 18, but I have all and abound. So that's his confession, that's his belief. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, the odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So what were the gifts? Were they just giving to Paul and it was just this completely natural transaction? No. They were in their giving into ministry, giving into the things of the Lord, they were sacrificing to the Lord. You can see there. An odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And frankly, we should see ourselves as kings and priests, and priests offer sacrifices. And this is one of the sacrifices, is being able to give and to give into the things of God, the house of the Lord, so to speak, the work of the ministry. And then what is he able to say? So it's no use just quoting verse 19 and ignoring everything else in the book of Philippians. Verse 19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's prosperity coming into their life, because they've esteemed the work of the Lord. Can you see what I'm saying here? They've esteemed the work of the Lord. And then he says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just a few more scriptures. Let's have a look at Haggai 1, 3 to 10. Now we're looking at this part of not properly... How do we deal with not properly esteeming God's work, his house and his ministry? Well, you've got to see that when you are giving into the things of the Lord, you're doing something between you and God. You understand that? And of course we saw that right at the very beginning, 2 Corinthians 9, where God wanted to them to have all sufficiency in all things, that they may abound every good work. And in their giving, it was the Lord that was looking on their heart, that they were not grudgingly giving, but as a cheerful giver, and they're giving to the Lord, and He was looking on their heart. And you know, God is looking on people's hearts now. He's saying, I want a people that are willing to do what I want them to do. And Haggai 1, we'll look at verses 3 to 10. This is a whole sermon in itself, but I just want to point out a few things, how these people were not esteeming or putting value on the house of God. And in the New Testament, the house of God is obviously the church. Not esteeming the house of God, and it affected their prosperity. It affected their prosperity in a dramatic way. So, starting from verse 3 of Haggai 1, it says, "Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Okay, you want prosperity flow, and there's been things holding you back, well, then you should be considering your ways. And that's what it says next. Verse 6, "You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house." Now, can you see the problem here? They were looking at the dung things in terms of, and we're talking about, where is Christ, where is God in the ladder of esteem and value? Well, He's right at the top. Everything else is down here at the dung level. Okay? So this is important for us to see. He says, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And we could go on, but I think you can see there that in terms of priority, people must have the right priority in their life. Okay, God is not against you having riches. He's not against you having wealth. He's not against you having retirement fund and so on, etc. Okay. He is against people not properly esteeming His work, His house, and His ministers. Let's have a look at just two more scriptures. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 20. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 20. I do realise that I've been going through a fair amount tonight, but you know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and I pray that you're starting to see that, you know, the Lord wants there to be a real increase in my life, a real prosperity flow in my life. And so releasing that flow is so very, very important, so that we may be able to do those good works that God wants us to do. Verse 20, "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." Okay? You see that believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. All right? Yep. Established, because you're believing the word, you're believing the truth, and you're believing the Lord your God, and there's establishment in your life. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. You know, and there's many scriptures that show this. But when the minister of God speaks, you better be very, very sure that your heart is right and not just saying in your heart, "Oh, I just think that's Craig speaking," or just a natural man speaking. You should be believing that God is using the minister to bring the word, to bring the truth, to help in the building of the church and so on. In fact, Acts 20 says that the Holy Ghost has made certain people overseers. Now that's important to understand. The Holy Ghost puts people in. Now sure, right across the body of Christ at the moment, there are false teachers, false prophets, false brethren. There's no doubt about that. You know, and of course we're looking to a great church restitution and a great cleansing of the sanctuary, so to speak, where that is dealt with. The Lord will deal with that and is dealing with that even now. So believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. There's a real prosperity link to that. Glory to God. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13, and I'll finish with this one. And, you know, we've been looking tonight at releasing your prosperity flow. It is God's will for you to prosper. It's God's will for you to have that prosperity flow in your life, where there is good things coming into your life. Not good things withheld or kept back, but good things. You know, we know that the devil is all about containment and keeping people down and so on, but God is about release and flow and getting you out into that greater level. An increase. He's called the God of increase. Praise the Lord. So we're looking at 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13. It says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." And that's where believe in the Lord your God and you'll be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. So we see here that when they heard the word, they didn't just say, "Oh, that's the word of men," but they said, "No, that's the word of God. That's the word of God." Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. I just want to give people an opportunity. Now, there's many scriptures that talk about hands laid on people and people being blessed. And I believe the Lord wants people to be blessed tonight with prosperity blessing. But let me just take you through a prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. It is light to us. It is food to us. It is truth. And Lord, we take that and eat of it, partake of it. Thank you, Lord, for that. And Father, I ask that every person here be open to your prosperity, blessing and flow. That there be openings and opportunities that come into every one of us here, into our lives, even beyond what we can ask or think. That you are giving us, by us having the mind of Christ, you are giving us new things and thoughts, so that we are receiving revelation and understanding of the way ahead and release into prosperity. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, if the Lord's been speaking to you about a particular area, in your life, and you want to deal with that in your life, I'm just going to give you a few moments as your head is bowed to deal with it. You know, we cannot be people that cover sin or regard iniquity in our lives. The Lord is dealing you with about esteeming the things of God in a greater measure. Esteeming the things of God. So, Lord, I esteem your things. Father, I commit this day to esteeming your ways, your house, the ministers you've put into your house in a greater way, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. I know the Lord wants people to be released into a greater measure, and come out of ceilings or breakthrough ceilings, and come out of anything that's been holding you back. If you'd like to be prayed over for a prosperity blessing, I believe there's a prosperity anointing here tonight, an anointing flow. If you'd like that, just raise your hand and step out. Okay. Samantha, would you like to step out first? Take that step of faith, come on out, and we'll pray over you. Who else raise their hand? Katrina, Matthew, anyone else? No, that's all right. Praise the Lord. Let's pray over Samantha. And now this is for blessing. Prosperity blessing. Lord, we lay hands on Samantha and we ask that there be release. Bless her, Lord, in the name of Jesus, in prosperity. Bless her beyond what she has experienced in the past. In Jesus' name, we ask for great release. And we say, be blessed, whole and strong and increased. In Jesus' name, Father, we ask that your increase be shown in Samantha's life. New and dynamic and great thoughts from your heart be shown to her as she prospers in her soul. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You are the one that prospers me. You increase me. And I receive of you that increase. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, we pray and lay hands on Katrina now, and we ask that Katrina be blessed abundantly in prosperity and strength and understanding in Jesus' name. Give a great revelation, Lord. We say be blessed, full of understanding of the will of the Lord and of how to do the good works you wanted to do in Jesus' name. Be released, we say. Be released, even through that ceiling. Let it be broken in the name of Jesus.
broken. We come to another level. Thank you, Lord. 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 Glory to God. Oh, the Lord says there are great things for you ahead. Great things for you ahead. Great things for you ahead. You be not despondent, but be hopeful and faithful in the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
I thank you for prospering me.
You
are the one that puts me through, that is showing me the way and leading me in the way I should go. And I praise you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's pray. And our brother Matthew, the prosperity blessing in his life. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your benefits that you daily load us with. And Lord, we ask that your blessing, your prosperity blessing, come on and in Matthew in the name of Jesus. And in his life, there be release in the name of Jesus. We say be blessed and increased in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sikava Kavaranda Lavanganda Mandalavaravas Sala Granda Lavaravasenda Lavaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravaravarava needs to go. Show him, Lord, ideas and understandings and the mechanics of what's ahead, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Say after me, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I acknowledge you.
I acknowledge
as the
you.
God of increase.
The God of increase.
As the God of prosperity.
As the God of prosperity.
And I ask now. Send now prosperity.
Send now prosperity.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory. I know there was and there is a prosperity anointing, you know. Just like the healing services, when you preach and give place to the word in these areas, God will also meet you. That's what I've found. Praise God. That's great, isn't it?